dark, somber and earthly, resonant, wafting and mighty, sustaining and mellow. These are just a few characteristics of the double bass, which is the largest and lowest pitched member of the violin family in the modern symphony orchestra. The broadness of the timbre possesses great power and represents the essence of the sound of the double bass. It is this element that defines the instrument's principal task in the orchestra, which is to play the fundamental bass line. Dr. Michael Montgomery is the double bass teacher at the University of Arkansas, as well as the bass instructor for the Suzuki Music School. With more than 3,000 performances in his career, including 20 years of work with the Florida Philharmonic Orchestra, he knows his way around the double bass.
I guess it was kind of a fluke. I actually started playing music because some friends of mine wanted to start a band, and I was involved. And they played other instruments, the guitars, which I kind of wanted to play, but nobody was playing bass, so I played the electric bass at that time. And that led to a lot of years of playing in, I guess, what you would call garage bands. And when it was time to go to college, at that time, you couldn't major in jazz or commercial music, so I took up string bass at that time and played in the orchestra at school, and that started my playing the double bass in classical music. I was lucky when I went to school that I was in an area where you could play in orchestras. The students actually played in a lot of orchestras around the area. That was in the middle of Mississippi, and we were able to play Pensacola Symphony, the Mobile Opera, Jackson Opera. I played in Baton Rouge Symphony, the New Orleans Summer Pops. So there was a lot of playing experience for symphony music, and that kind of took over, and I guess the playing the electric bass kind of fell to the wayside at that point. And actually, when I finished college in classical music, string bass, another couple of years I played on the Gulf Coast when there was a lot of nightclubs. I supported myself playing a couple of years in the dance music in the nightclubs with, again, the electric bass.
The bass is a very versatile instrument, and its history has its origins in a faraway period when music was linked to the ordinary and extraordinary events of everyday life. The viola da gamba was one of the predominant instruments of the Renaissance and Baroque periods in Europe. The story behind the bass is riddled with a confusing array of differing construction, sizes and tuning. In 1542, Silvestro Ganassi developed a bass viola da gamba in Venice, which is often regarded as the ancestor of the double bass. Viola da gamba literally means viola of the leg. Nowadays, the double bass is used in different styles from classical to jazz to bluegrass and rock and roll.
The dates of Bach, which was like 1685 to 1750, that time the string family wasn't used so much the way it is now, the way we think of it. The gambas were used a lot. So if you look at scores like of Bach, you'll have a bass part, but it doesn't always mean that it's a double bass, because the gamba family had a lot of different tunings, from high-pitched instruments that were very small to low-pitched instruments like the bass. And the violins came into being. I understand their origins were more from some of the more eastern countries, you know, Arabia. And the gambas were used so in the Baroque period. And our bass, I think its origins are as much in the gamba family as anything else. So it's almost like we're an extension of that. But if you look at the double bass, it looks like, I'm sure everyone knows what a violin looks like. If you take a violin and you just make it really big, you would have a visual for the double bass, what it is. So it's like the violin in the shape of the body. It's much larger, of course. It's got four strings, and we tune the strings a little more different. And through the years, I think what we call the double bass now has replaced the gamba. Gamba is more of a period instrument now, and people do a lot of period music. That's coming back. So when you see the double bass, you may think of it as being in a jazz group. It's great for the jazz group because when you play with your fingers, it's called pizzicata, as opposed to playing with the bow, which is called arco. In the orchestra, most of the time we play arco with the bow. In the jazz group, you play pizzicato. And Gunther Schuller wrote a really neat history of early jazz and described how the double bass took over from the tuba in those early Dixieland groups. The bass has a really hard articulation on the front end of the note, and it makes it really good for playing the swing period music, four quarter notes to a measure, walking bass lines. The tuba would play the tubi music that's typical of early, probably Dixieland, and that worked fine for those groups, but as they started playing four beats in a measure, the pizzicato articulation worked really well to drive the rhythm section, and that's kind of the foundation of the jazz rhythm. But I think the pizzicato notes on the bass make it really well suited for jazz music.
But what do people actually think of the double bass?
In big cities, maybe in Europe, people make the connection with the orchestra. They see, I've heard it described as a backdrop, both sonically and visually, for the orchestra, a wall of sound behind all the other instruments. And I suppose people in cities where there are orchestras, they make that association. And otherwise, they would, if they would see a double bass or string bass, they would think of it playing in a jazz group. Probably a Dixieland group is the visual from movies and what have you, is the string bass in those groups. But things are changing with bass, you know, electric bass and double bass and classical. The dividing lines between the genres, between jazz, between rock, commercial music, and symphony and solo and recital and chamber music, the lines are kind of getting blurred right now. A lot of people are doing a lot of stuff with the instrument that you can't really fit into one of those genres. So it's an exciting time. But I would say yes, and even up here in Arkansas, if people see or imagine the bass, they would probably think of a bluegrass group. Yeah, because of Branson and the Ozarks and everything. So yeah, it's hard to say what people think of when they think of the double bass, but probably a lot of different things. And it is a lot of different things.
From Vivaldi and Mozart to Hindemith and Koussevitzky, all the great composers have written music for this refined instrument that enjoyed a period of popularity during the 18th century. And since then, it has become the ace up the sleeve for almost every genre in music.
All the symphonic music that's been written since the time of Bach would include a bass section in the orchestra. It's, again, my perspective, probably the most important part of the orchestra is the bass section. And so every symphonic piece would have a bass section. The deep tones that even if you don't think that you hear it, it's there. It's a presence that fills out the sonority. In the symphonic repertory, it's a must-have, having the bass in the orchestra. But there's solo repertory, too, sonatas, just like everyone else. In chamber music, we don't have the extensive, you know, like the string quartet. They've got such a large repertory from all the major composers. But there's a list, and I've found a webpage that lists 3,000 works that are chamber pieces. So there's an extensive chamber music repertory. There's also a lot of solo repertory. I mean, bass players are really active and very, very much out there, you know, knocking on the doors of composers and what have you, getting them to write stuff for us. When I was in Miami, I went down there for graduate school and got my doctorate down there. And I had a wonderful teacher, Lucas Drew, who was pretty well known around the world as a great teacher and ambassador of the bass. And there was an orchestra there, the Florida Philharmonic. I started playing, you know, when I was finishing my degree. And it developed into a really nice job with, you know, a two-week paycheck, annual salary, medical insurance was paid, and pension.
After Miami, Michael Montgomery and his wife Lourdes, who is a prolific church music composer, moved to Fayetteville. And immediately he started teaching college students as well as being interested in the Suzuki Method philosophy.
Each year, little by little, I think I've leaned more towards the teaching and to the point of turning down a lot of gigs just to have myself available to teach. The newest thing about all that, I mean, I'm teaching, you know, college students at the university, and there's excellent string programs in this area, in Rogers and Bentonville especially. There's really good orchestra programs. So there's students that come for extra help in the middle school and high school. What happened more recently, a friend of mine, Chen Yu, teaches violin at the Suzuki School, and he started talking to me about Suzuki, and I became interested and eventually went to Beaver Creek in Colorado and to Houston, Texas, and even down to Argentina. to do some of the teacher training and learn about teaching smaller children. Dr. Suzuki had a great love for the teaching, and he, a lot of experience, trial and error, really, is very intuitive. So the methods he came up with for teaching young people, it's actually called the mother tongue method, because he realized for a little child to learn a whole language, nothing could be more difficult. And adults have a big struggle with that. So he examined how do we pick up a language, the correlation between the parent and the child, and just the constant environment of being nurtured.
Dr. Montgomery started the Ozark Mini-Bass Project in order to give the opportunity to a new generation of young musicians to experience the beauty of the double bass.
For a family to run out and buy a $1,700 instrument, that's really an expense. And then music lessons can cost $900, $1,000 a year for lessons. So imagine a family saying, oh, I have a little child. I'd like them to learn the double bass. Oh, great. Can you come up with $3,000 real quick? So I spent the first part of the fall going around knocking on doors of businesses and asking them. I've got my five of my little kids are playing in the orchestra that had a tuition, and they underwrote that. So that was good.
To hear more about his project, just go to the KUAF 91.3 website for Ozarks at Large. That was Sophie Kidd-Kirmanidou.